And isn't it exciting to be in a new year and all that holds for us? We're beginning a new series looking at powerful one-sentence prayers. We're going to each Sunday morning just look at one bit of scripture where there's a prayer. And you know, maybe you've come into the new year and you're excited about trying to grow in prayer or pray a bit more. Maybe you don't realize that it's not just the length of your prayers it's actually just in the prayer, what you're praying and how you're praying it and what the heart is that it's coming from that can really sort of help you grow in your prayer life as we go into this new year. So I'm very pleased to be able to just pause and look at some great passages of scripture in these coming weeks. And the first one is our verse for the year. It's in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 1 to 3, page 1041. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Michael and Trevor have been bringing them around. Thank you so much to those who've been serving in that way. But it's also on your seat on a verse for the year card, and that's the verse that we want to focus on, verse 2. And this is a verse I'd highly recommend, put up on your fridge or, put in your Bible as a kind of bookmark. And why not memorize it? One of the things I was so impressed when I went to see the Nativity play was how much scripture the folks had memorized. And it's a great thing to do to get scripture into your heart. So this is the verse from the card, and then we'll read it in context. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Should we just read verse 2 all together? Are you ready? He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And this is the context there in Luke chapter 10, and we'll just read verse 1 to 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." And so, Lord Jesus, as we begin this year, I pray that you would help us in our praying. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us to be those ready to go, that you would indeed, Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into your harvest field. For we ask in Jesus' name and all for your glory. Amen. One of the things I know many people love to do in New Year time is kind of reflect back, see how things are going, and then look ahead and think, well, what do we need to work on? What do we need to prioritize? And, that's a great thing to do individually. But it's also something that we've been doing as a church. In the autumn time, we did a reveal survey. And thank you so much once again for 130 plus people who took the time, quite a bit of time, to fill that out. And it was so encouraging the end of last year to get the results back and see that basically the church is in a really healthy place. And at our January church meeting for our members, I'll just talk a bit more about some of what was revealed there. But I do want to say this, that as well as it being encouraging what it revealed about how we're generally doing, both as individuals and as a church together, what was maybe the best and most sort of exciting part was that in the autumn, we'd been praying, God, speak to us as leaders, as a church, about what you would have us be doing, how we need to be growing, where we need to be working. And we'd been meeting as leaders. We had a day of prayer and fasting as a church. You might remember that. And God had been putting on our heart that this coming year, we really need to see the church and to grow as individuals in prayer. And then about 3 days after we'd met as core leaders and say, right, for the next 6 months, this has got to be a priority. We get this survey back. And, I don't know if you realized it, but when you were doing the survey, there were some things that you could say, this is really important in my life and in the life of the church, and this is how I think that's going. And the guys who you know, took the survey and did all the number crunching, what they did is they compared those two numbers, so it kind of brought out what was the main priority for us as a church to be working on. And basically, this is what those 134 people fed back as the top priority. They said, we need help growing in our prayer life. And I read that and I thought, wow. I think God's trying to tell us something. And you might not even realize that that's what you were saying through that survey, but maybe you kind of know it in your heart. And maybe you didn't even fill out the survey, but you're coming into this new year and you're thinking, you know what? I need to grow in prayer. And folks, God would love you to grow in prayer. Your children would love it. They might not be able to verbalize it if you would grow in prayer. Your neighbor, your colleagues, your pastor, the person who leads your community, your spouse. If you and I could grow in prayer this year, boy, what a blessing and a difference it could make. And so this morning, I want to just look at this prayer that Jesus asks us to pray. He told us and his disciples to pray it. And I want to look basically first at the need. And then I want us to look at bringing to God that need that is around us. Because I think these two things, this realization that there is a need and that there's something that we need to pray and bring to God, and then the realization that God actually does care and wants to hear and wants us to ask him, and this came through so beautifully in our worship, that he is able. I think when we get those two things, boy, prayer starts to take off in our lives. And it's not necessarily long prayer or kind of just doing the ritual or trying to please God with our prayer. It's actually prayer that thinks, boy, this is a need and God can do something about it. So here we go, the need around us. I want to first talk, as we look at verse 2, because he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So as we look at the need around us, let's start with the harvest. The harvest that Jesus was talking about was this mission field that he was sending the people into. If you look at the context in Luke chapter 10, it's very clear that Jesus is sending out his disciples into the harvest field. It's the mission field that he's sending them to. And over the years, the harvest field has changed. You think back in the time of Jesus, there weren't many people who knew about him or what he's done, these disciples were being sent out. But you know what? As time has gone on, more and more people in different places came to know about him. And so the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ continued to spread. And at one stage, in sort of about 100 AD, still sort of Roman Empire time, there weren't many, hardly anybody knew about Jesus Christ in this Great Britain and England, but people came with the message. And then over time, more and more people started to believe this news that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is Lord, and that it's good news, and that he died for us. And over time, here in the UK, it became the religion of the people. This was churches started springing up everywhere, and you maybe have been to some really old churches in the UK. This one here is about 125 years old. Many around the place are even older than that. And by and large, this became a Christian country. The government, forming laws based on the Bible. The done thing was to go to church. You think around, and even in Brighton and Hove, now the churches that are there wasn't necessarily a time when they were all packed, but they were all a lot fuller at one stage than they were here. And the harvest field, the mission field, well, if you go back 100 years or so, the harvest field was seen to be, well, that's over in Africa and India And I remember in my lifetime feeling like, well, if you're going to go into the mission field, what you need to do is you need to get on an aeroplane and go. And actually, my parents were missionaries, so they were in Africa. They were kind of on the mission field, and back home, people were praying for them. And if you weren't going to go onto the mission field, then you needed to pray at home and stay here and be kind of, you were praying and staying, or you were going. And, those who were staying were giving towards those who were going on the aeroplane. And that was even in my lifetime. But you know what? As you look around now, the UK? You look around in Brighton and Hove? I see people up and down the streets. I walk, I look at buses. I walk along Western Road. I go into the schools sometimes. And there are not many anymore. There are not many who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The things of God aren't taught in schools. That people look back over history and they're kind of a bit shocked. So John, one of our elders, took his son to the Imperial War Museum last year, and Zach was looking at all these plaques from the First and Second World War. That's 100 years or so, less than 100 years ago. And Second World War is even less than that. And he's looking at all these plaques and memorials and things, and he just says, "Dad, was everyone a Christian back then?" Because so saturated was people's worldview and mindset that there was references to God left, right, and center. Whereas now in our colleges and our schools, and Zach knows this as do my kids, it's not everyone's Christian. In fact, very few really. Some might still say they're Christian by name, and we saw the census results, didn't we, at the end of last year. But, in a city like Brighton and Hove, 250,000 people, a bit more than that, I reckon there's, you'd be hard pushed to find 5,000 people in church this morning across the city. And probably some of those have come in from outside. That's 2%. I reckon it's less than 2% in central Brighton and Hove. Patrick Johnston, who does a lot of these statistics for the UK, says the UK church attendance, 6% across the country. The harvest field. It's changed. Used to be the harvest field, the mission field, or somewhere else. Now I'm telling you what, folks, it's your workplace. It's your doorstep. It's the neighbor, the people all around us. It's just the streets around here. This is the mission field. The harvest field is indeed plentiful. And I tell you what, even though we see things in the news sometimes where there's antagonism and there's clashes of worldviews, where words like marriage and equality just get misunderstood, and we kind of seem to be talking different languages sometimes to people, and yet the reality is there is a spiritual hunger. People are wanting to know. They're wanting to know when a crisis happens over the Christmas break and suddenly they hear that one of their family members or someone they know has died, and they're thinking, this doesn't make sense. And they're hungry. They're asking questions. And they're looking and searching, and the harvest field is plentiful and it's on our doorstep. And it's right here. Every place, a mission field. Every situation, a mission opportunity. Steve Jackson, I remember you heard a talk about that and shared it with me. And I thought, absolutely right. Every place, a mission field. Every situation, a mission opportunity. So the harvest field has changed, but it's still plentiful. But what about the laborers? Well, the laborers, again, in Jesus' time, as he spoke this, there were 72 of them. Wasn't just to the 12, he was sending out the 72. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, great, hey, there's more than 72 of us, praise the Lord. And there used to be, again, way more laborers. It was like there were tons of laborers, and so we were sending them off to different other parts of the world, and there's still a huge need for that. If you just think about the needs in Brighton and Hove, tell you what, in places like in North Africa and the Horn of Africa, like Somalia, there's still massive need. We still need to see people going out. But here right in the UK, there used to be loads of laborers, but now there are a few again. There are a few again. The laborers have changed, and just as Jesus said in his time, there are few. And the thing is that the laborers who are left, who are still here, us. What sometimes happens, I think, is that we still think back to like 50, 100 years ago, when we thought the mission field and the harvest field was far away. And so we have a kind of mindset that's much more about, well, our job is to make sure we get the kind of right doctrine and that we're keeping everything good here at home for the missionaries who are kind of going out. And though we kind of now are realizing, well, a lot of it is about our reaching out, and praise God for these places which were packed over the candlelight, twice in a row. What fantastic time that was over Christmas. I think sometimes as we go into our workplaces or into our neighborhoods, if we were really thinking like missionaries, I think we'd have a bit more of this kind of heart. You know, you think about some of the missionaries you know who've gone out from this church. You know, they know that whether they're going as tent makers or full time, they know they're in a battle. They know they need prayer support. They know that they're clear what their focus is. Their focus is trying to reach out to people with the love of Christ and demonstrate that. They know that they need to look for ways of connections, whether that's finding jobs so they can meet people or learning the language better so they can understand and really communicate the gospel effectively. They're thinking in such a way as their life's got a kind of priority. And I wonder, do we do that? Do we, as we go into tomorrow, maybe you're starting work again tomorrow or college or university this week, are you kind of going into it thinking, right, I'm going into this situation, I need people to pray for me. I'm going into a place where there's hugely different worldviews and I need to be one who's shining for Jesus Christ. Are we aware of that? And I think sometimes what happens is that even the few laborers that we have left in this country are not actually thinking like those going out into the harvest field. We've kind of got a different mindset. But you know what is changing? I believe it's even changing for us. See, we used to, when we like gathered in communities, or we used to call just small groups, it used to be we just kind of gathered really for encourage ourselves, do the Bible study, sort of focus on the Lord, prayer, good stuff. But we used to kind of just save the kind of most of the outreach to stuff we did centrally. Whereas now what we're saying is, come on, let's make sure these communities are places where we're reaching out. That we're doing the discipling and Bible study and prayer in the context of reaching out. Because that is how Jesus called his disciples to be when the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, things are changing. Praise God for it. You know, I was just praying before the service in what used to be my old study through there. It's now a CAP office. You know, back in here, a debt advice center where we're helping those in need. And boy, was it thrilling to see these places packed with hampers before Christmas that were then going out. Things are changing. And it's right that they change. And as we come into the new year, Penny, that was such a helpful picture. We sometimes think, well, we always do this, you know. And actually, we need to start doing this and even walking and moving out towards people. Those that are moving in new ways and fresh ways they've never done before. So the harvest is plentiful, folks. It's right on our doorsteps, right here around us. And the laborers are few. You know, don't just leave it to Philip and Rosie and Sean and myself and, you know, others. Hey, this is something we all need to do. God longs for us to be working with him. But what we mustn't do, what we really mustn't do, is kind of look around and think, oh man, the need's massive. We need to be aware of the need. But if we just focus on the need, you'll have a tendency to get discouraged or feel overwhelmed. What we need to do is keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. The Lord of the harvest. The one who is able. The one who knows how to coordinate and reach the harvest field. And one of the things that will help us be effective in mission is having our faith grow, to keep our eyes on the one who helps us and who we can have faith in, because fear will be the thing that stops us reaching out, whereas faith will be the thing that motivates us. And I find that as I look to Jesus, he's so natural in the way he relates to people, so compassionate, so loving and kind of ordinary and yet extraordinary. And this is what Jesus calls us to be. He calls us to look to him, to follow him. Ordinary people who have an extraordinary God, and then who naturally do the supernatural thing of changing lives and of helping draw people in. So, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Do you believe that? I'm believing that with a deeper and deeper passion as days go on. And I think if we don't recognize the need around us, we're not really going to do this next bit, which is the prayer that Jesus calls us to. And the reason we're to pray is that the Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ, who knows what our need is around us, he's the one who calls us to pray. He says, right, if you want to reach this harvest field, here's what you need to do. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Bring to God the need around. And let's look at verse 10, verse 2, and this little verse here. We've got it here in bold. Ask the Lord of the harvest. You know, how are we to ask? How's this to happen? Well, there are a number of words in the Bible for prayer. Sometimes they get translated ask or pray or, petition or beg or beseech. And actually the word that's used here in Luke 10 is not used that often. It's only used about 16 times in the New Testament. So I thought I'd just show you a few other times when it's used, so you get a feel for what this asking's like, okay? So this is one of the times when it gets used in the New Testament, Luke 9, verse 38. Why don't you read that out to me, and I'll just have a sip of water. Here we go. A man. So which word there do you reckon is the same word as ask the Lord in ours? Beg. You might remember the story. This is man coming, sons in need to Jesus. And he's there, and he's begging. You know, we picture it in our minds, and what do we have? We almost have him kind of grabbing hold of his hand, pleading with him, urging him, falling on his knees maybe and saying, Lord, I beg you, heal my son. That's this word, ask the Lord of the harvest. Here's another reference to time when we have it. Luke 22, 32, when I realized that this was this word, it kind of really moved me. You know, this is the time when Jesus says he's going to pray for Simon Peter. He says, but I have prayed for you. I've petitioned. I've begged. I've sought. I've beseeched for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And we see that in Jesus' life, doesn't he? He knew what it was to pray. Not just the length of prayers and the thing, but to say, oh, I want this to happen. And then there's another time here, Acts 4:31. Interestingly, this is again the same word. After they had prayed, after they had asked the Lord, begged, sought, beseeched, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Folks, it's a short prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. And the thing is, these powerful one-sentence prayers, I think it actually matters how we pray them. And it's not a kind of worked up thing, but it's actually seeking God and saying, God, this is the need, and I want you to do this. I really want you to do this. There's a missionary from... A few decades back, a guy called Jim Elliot, he actually died on the mission field trying to reach the people he was trying to reach out to. And in his journal, he wrote this. He said, cold prayers are like cold suitors. You know, those people who are trying to get a date. And cold prayers are like cold suitors. They rarely get that which they pursue. It's a young man praying it. And he knew what it was to be sort of, you know, wanting to woo this girl and get it, you know, and marry her eventually. And you know what? Actually, there's something in that of if you really want something, you know how to kind of ask. Someone else, Johnny passed on a great quote, Bill Johnson saying, you know, praying that doesn't move us often won't move God. Are you moved by what you're praying for? Are you asking? Jesus says, ask, beg, beseech, petition God that he might do this. And I wonder, why don't we pray like that more? Maybe you pray like that sometimes, but why don't we pray like that more? I think actually this is one of the ways we need to grow in prayer. It's not just that we actually need more time. We need something to happen inside of us where we're praying more. Where we're praying more like this, where we're really asking and begging God. What do you think? Why don't we pray like that? I think probably one of the reasons is sometimes we just don't see the need or feel the need or identify with the need around them. We kind of sometimes even, I think, don't kind of care. We don't maybe care that maybe most of the people living on your street or working with you or around you, that actually that they're missing the most valuable and precious and wonderful thing that there is in life, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're missing salvation. They're missing eternal life. In fact, ultimately, the Bible says they're going to a Christless eternity. And
You don't know if you've ever done any farming. Maybe you've got an apple tree in your garden. Neighbor's garden. You see the fruit. What happens at harvest is that, you know, when all the stuff comes and it tends to all come at the same kind of time, you know, what happens to the stuff that doesn't get collected in? It just kind of misses its purpose, doesn't it? It kind of just, it just dies. And there's a sense here that the laborers are the ones who are to say, hey, Lord of the harvest, and they, even if the laborers care, how much more the kind of owner of the harvest field? And this is the wonderful thing, folks, I think, that we sometimes don't realize. It's not just that we need to care, because sometimes, I'll be honest, I struggle just to have the emotional capacity to really care. Maybe you do too. But here's something I can get a hold of. God cares. God cares for every single person you're going to see for the rest of the day. He cares for them deeply. In fact, one of the things God's been speaking to me about in the new year is he even cares. Check out Job 39, 5 and 6. He even cares for donkeys. That's our God. How much more does he care for you and I and for our neighbors? And so not just as we think about who we're how we're to pray, let's think about who we're praying to for a moment. This is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who sends out workers. It's his harvest field. Did you notice that at the end of verse 2? I really want you to see this when you have it up on your board or in your Bible or by your bed. You know, ask the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest field. He cares deeply for Brighton and Hove. It's his harvest field. He cares for North Africa, and, you know, Somalia and these different places, Wales and India. It's, these are his harvest fields. And he wants and longs to see people sent out into them. And it's so much better, so much better when he does the sending. You know, if I'm the one trying to say, come on, guys, I'm sending you, go for it. You kind of think, oh, okay, we better go. Dave said so. And, you know, and it doesn't really have the same impact when God shows up in your life and God says, right, Josh, I want you to do Transform Team. And I remember the moment when you came and told me that. I want to make my year available to serving God and growing in him. Boy, that's a different story. You know, when God shows up, Annie, I remember when he's like, I think I need to go to Ethiopia. And, you know, boy, that's very different thing than when I, you know, when God shows up and he says, you know what, I think I need to be reaching out to my friend. And I think of some of the young people who've reached out to their friends and you see God at work and you're trying to reach out to them. And boy, it makes all the difference. And it'd been a joy to see some of them get baptized and come to know him. And when God calls you into your workplace afresh, so you're not just going back to work tomorrow. Oh, no, I've got to go back to work. Hey, I'm going to go and see what God is doing in this office and join him in it. And we're asking God and saying, God, will you, whether it's me or those around you, will you send them out into the harvest field? Please, God. And you know, when we realize that God does really care, that he's there, and this is where our world around us so undermines our prayer life. Because as we were looking in the whole Abraham series, and I've shared about this since coming back from Ethiopia quite a bit, that in some countries the whole faith level is kind of stronger and greater. They're just sure that there's God and that he hears them when they're praying. And in our culture, in our newspapers, in our media, it's like people are not sure there's God and that he hears us when they pray. In fact, they'd like us all to think that there is no God. And that when you pray, it's really very cute and sweet and all, but it's really a bit of a waste of time. But folks, I want to say the reality is that there is a God. And he does care. And he does want to hear your voice. And he is able. And so we can talk to him anytime, anywhere, and he will hear. I sometimes think about how my kids get this so wonderfully. And sometimes when there's things they can't do, they will ask me because they know I'm real. They know I'm there. They know I care, particularly, you know, if it's the right kind of thing. They're sometimes a bit cautious when it's just asking for another chocolate over Christmas time. They're realizing that doesn't work. But, you know, God's a bit like that too sometimes. You know, when you just ask for another chocolate, it's like, come on, folks, really. Look at all I've given you already. And but you know what? When my kids are in the back seat of the car and they're struggling to get their seatbelt in, and they say, Dad, can you help us? They know I care that their seatbelt's done up. They know that I hear them. They know that I'm able to help them. So they're going to ask, aren't they?
And they ask with confidence. And they ask boldly. And what do? I respond. Because I do care. And I am able. And I do hear. And you know what? When we ask God, Lord, as he's asked us to, Lord, please, in my workplace, in my street, in this city, will you please, God, send out workers into the harvest field? You'd be amazed who starts popping up. People arrived at my old workplace, Ricardo. This person arrived. Oh, man, another Christian from my old university appeared. And then another one. And then someone else comes up and says, I go to Lord. And it turned out in my department there were about 3 people who were Christians. That is not usual. You know, and on my street, we moved to Norfolk Square, just down Western Street. Thought, oh, there's not going to be, you know, so many people. To be honest, it's a bit of a needy area in all kinds of ways. And so it turns out there's 2 other couples from Holland Road who live on that street. Hallelujah. So we're meeting together and we're trying to think, how do we reach out and how do we serve and love? And isn't that wonderful? Are you praying? Are you praying? You'd ask God to see if he would raise up others to go out into the harvest field. And maybe that's the last thing I just want to say. This send out word, this is a pretty strong word. This is actually, I don't have time to go into all the other references, but this is kind of one of those words like, let's go whoosh, kind of send them out. If I got a hold of Sean and went, all right, that's the kind of, this is the kind of word that gets used when they're kind of people are getting thrown into jail or, you know, almost being thrown off a cliff. And, you know, that's the word. So folks, I'm thinking here, well, I could try and get you to go, but boy, oh boy, if I'm praying and if you're praying, that God would so get a hold of people's lives that he would send them out as workers into the harvest field. Watch out, Brighton and Hove. Here comes some people. You know, and that's what I long for us individually, for us as communities. You know, we've realized that when communities have a clear outward focus, when they're really, know where they're trying to reach, and when they've got a sort of a decent size, where there's maybe even a number of groups within them, where they've got some capacity, and where there's good accountability and discipleship, so we don't stop doing this. That is, boy, when, you know, things can move. But, you know, as well as going out, there still is people who will come if you invite them. We talk about being more of a missional church, and we need to be. Boy, do we need to be. But we also have been an attractional church, a church that says to people, hey, come along, come along, come along. And you know what? People do still sometimes come. Sometimes they don't. A lot of people I've invited haven't come, but some have. The ones that haven't come, I'm going to go to. We're going to go to. But the ones that do, praise God for them. And so one of the things I've been using even this week afresh is just these little business cards. There's some of these on your seat as well. And just simply an invite to our Sunday services. You know, just you can give it to someone and say, hey, you're welcome along anytime. And if it's your first time here, I just want to say you're very welcome. It's so good to see you. I believe coming along and being part of a worshiping sort of extended family like we are as a church will help you grow in your faith. I really believe that. And it will help others grow in their faith. Even if they're seeking next Sunday, I'm kind of calling it a bit like back to church Sunday. Those people you invited to the candlelight, you want to see them, you know, why not say, hey, why not come back to church? We're going to look at one of those prayers, which is just a short prayer about praying for the need within. Hey, we've all got needs within. And just, we're going to be looking at that. So why not invite them for next week and say, hey, why not come back? And, you know, we'll see if we can get Roberto doing some pottery stuff as well for the kids and, you know, the early part of the service and thinking about prayer. Everyone sort of is wrestling and thinking about prayer often. Let's make the most of these opportunities. You know, I've been praying this prayer for a while. So maybe if you're there thinking, well, you know what, I'm ready, like, you know, the guys here, to almost be the answer to the prayer that was prayed. You know, maybe you need to do that, joining a community that's reaching out. Maybe that's one of the things you kind of say, yeah, I'm ready for this. I want to be right going out. But maybe too, you kind of, you're thinking, you know what, I could grab one of these and I could get someone who I invite and just say, look, you're welcome. Come along. So that's 2 little things that you might be able to do as you go into the new year. But let me just end with this. As we go into this year, you know, I really think that the starting place is not our activity, it's God's activity. That's why this year we're focusing on prayer,
as we begin the year. That's why I want my main application for all of us this morning to be not to just do something in our own strength, but to ask something that God would do. I want to invite you to pray a powerful one-sentence prayer. And today to keep on praying it. When you see it, when it comes back to mind, when you see maybe the need around, you pray, God, please, Lord, would you raise up more laborers for your harvest field? That you would beg. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know how you beg. Don't try and beg like how I beg, or just beseech God that he would do it in and around where he's placed you and the people around you. I was chatting to some people while I was in Ethiopia, some really inspiring people. If you knew, I took some study leave last year and was interviewing some leaders of churches. And one of them was a guy who was called Tesfaye Gebiso. We've got a picture of him up on the screen. Tesfaye Gebiso, he was actually in prison for 7 years under the communist regime. He's written some amazing worship songs. You know, this focusing on God and praying and worshiping him and keeping him focused, that have impacted, that people have come to Christ through these worship songs. He's the most well-known worship leader in the in Ethiopia. But he's also a pastor, an evangelist. He just loves to speak about Lord Jesus. And so I had the great privilege of him answering some of my interview questions. And this was one of my questions, right? What advice do you have for people in Brighton, England, as they seek to engage in local mission? So this guy has been used massively of the Lord, and the church in Ethiopia is growing so fast, you wouldn't believe it. Just staggering. In like 70 years, one denomination has grown 7 million in 70 years. Isn't that phenomenal? And so I'm asking these kind of guys, I'm saying, okay, so what advice do you have for like us? This is who I've got in mind. What advice has this guy got for us as we seek to engage in local mission? He said this: seeking the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit in prayer and interceding for the lost can be a good starting place. Prayer for the rise of visionary and missionary leaders who are really called by God is also needed. Folks, are we doing that? Are we praying and seeking the Holy Spirit's help and praying for lost people and praying for God to raise up missionary and visionary leaders in the UK? Even many in this church like that. And so I then ask this follow-up question. I say, is there anything else that would be helpful for me to hear? And the guy says, I strongly believe that giving more time for, you guessed it, prayer will change things and bring about the desired result in mission. The work of mission is a kind of spiritual warfare, and the Spirit of God must be sought for this task. He alone can defeat the spiritual enemy and take back the captives out of his hands. Folks, we're in a battle. Sometimes Jesus is using the farming analogy. Sometimes the New Testament writers, they're using the battle analogy. But all of them talk about prayer. About us being people who know what it is to ask. So as we begin this year, I want to invite you to pray. I'm not inviting you at this point to a day of prayer and fasting or a prayer night or this. Those things are great and good, and they will come up in this year ahead. What I'm inviting you is in your own time, in your car, by your bedside, at your dinner table, on the street as you're walking down, as you're going into work tomorrow, as you're leaving church this afternoon, this lunchtime, to be people who ask, and if you're thinking, what do I ask for? Who ask this? That the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into the harvest field. And you can even be specific and say, here in Brighton and Hove, in my workplace. And you might even want to specifically mention some other countries and nations around the world where there is massive need as well. That God would even raise up fresh folks from here to go out in those places too. Will you ask? I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they're just going to play a song just instrumentally to begin with. And that's our time while they're playing to just be praying. And I would love you just in this quiet moment to just even pray. It's just not going to take you long, but just come and say, Lord, please, will you do this? And get into that habit of begging and seeking God for this. And then be open to being even part of the answers to your own prayers. So let's just bow our heads. I'll just pray for us, and then we'll just have a time of stillness as the band are playing. We can do our own praying. Father, we love you, and we thank you that you first loved us. We thank you for Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. You who are real. You who rose from the grave. You who hear us when we pray. You who are even praying for us. Lord, help us bring to you the need around. Just take some time to pray. Cry out to God. Lord, help us in our praying. Teach us how to pray.